Lord, we do thank you for this time that we can come together and just feast on your word. Lord, I pray as we look at the life of Ruth and our kinsman redeemer, Lord, that you would spark a fire in our heart for you, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that you would just reveal your goodness and mercy as we look at her life. And Lord, that each one here will take what is being said tonight personal. Lord, as a personal love language relationship with the King of Glory, I ask that you would move in that way by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, today we look at Ruth following our kinsman redeemer. And just some historical background, what was going on at the time before we dive into her life. We realize that her life, what she went through happened during the time of Judges. And last week we looked at Judges, what was happening back then. And I never realized that until I did the study again, that she was around when the judges were in the land of Israel. And what we read in chapter 1, there was a famine in the land. They lived in Bethlehem in Judah, in the land of Judah. And there was a famine, and Naomi and her husband and her two sons left their homeland and moved to the land of Moab because there was food in Moab. And in verse 3 of chapter 1 in the book of Ruth, we see that while they were there, Naomi's husband died. And in verses 4 and 5, 10 years later, her two sons passed away, who had taken wives from the tribe of Moab. And some of you know that the group in Moab was bowing down to foreign gods, and they sacrificed their children to their god called Shemesh. And God's people were intermingling. So in verses 6 and 7 in chapter 1, Naomi had then heard that there was food. After this time had passed, the 10 years, she heard there's food now. God's blessing Bethlehem, the land of Israel. So they decided to go back there from where they had come from. And these three ladies now begin their journey. Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. They begin their journey back. And during their journey back, Naomi had told Ruth and Orpah, why don't you go back to your homeland? Go back to Moab. And Orpah did. She went back to her homeland, went back to serve her other gods, the gods of the Moabites. But Ruth made a proclamation. And what we see there in verse 16 of Ruth chapter 1, Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And what you see there was a resolve, a commitment in a heart that I don't want to go back to the land of Moab. I don't want to go back and serve those false gods back there. I want to go with you. I want to follow the God of Israel. She was making a decision there to come out of the land of Moab and come in and be a part of the people of God. To be a part of the people of God. And what we learn from chapter 1 is while Ruth clung to Naomi, I mean, they use that word clung to her, cling to her, which is the same that we saw in Genesis when it says a man will leave his mother and father, be joined to the wife, and they should cleave together. It's that same joining together. They were making she was making that pledge to her, you know, nothing but death will separate me from you. And isn't that how we come into a marriage? Till death do us part. And at the end of chapter 1, we learn that they arrived back in Bethlehem during the beginning of the barley harvest. And just think about this. Because of Ruth's decision to follow the Lord God of Israel, Ruth would become the great-grandmother of King David. Isn't that pretty awesome?
Yeah.
From her would rise Solomon and all the kings of Israel and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, because she was obedient to follow God. God was able to bless her life and brought life to us, really, when you think about it. What if she would have said, no, I'm going to go back to Moab? She could have, but she didn't. Ruth would follow Naomi's God throughout her life until death. That was the commitment she made. And she willfully chose to leave Moab, which was the place of her birth. She willfully chose to put aside her old life, her old friends in Moab. She walked away from them. She willfully chose to leave her father and mother. And think about when we come to Christ. What does Jesus tell his disciples in Matthew 10, verses 37 through 38? I have the scriptures on this handout for you to make it easier. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And when we come to Jesus, it's kind of the same mindset. We're saying, Lord, I am forsaking the other gods that I used to serve when I was on the other side of Moab. Or a couple of weeks ago, Egypt, when they crossed over the Jordan. I am willfully choosing to follow you, to serve you, to forsake my relationships, whether they're old friends, even my family. I'm willing to leave them and cleave to you. And that was a decision I had to make when I came here to Kentucky, because I was very, very close with my family. But I knew God was calling me. So 25 years ago, I knew God was calling me, and it was, okay, Lord, I'm leaving behind the old life, even those that are very dear to me, those that are very dear. And Jesus is pleased when we're willing to do that. Because what we're saying is, Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love you with everything that's in me, and I want to follow you wherever you go. I don't know where this journey's taken me, but I always want there to be a yes in me to follow you to the death, whatever that means. Whatever that means. That's the kind of commitment Christ is looking for from us. And we see a little picture of that when Ruth, because remember, Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a Moabitess. But as we read on, we're going to see God did something to her, her nature, that she wasn't known anymore as Ruth the Moabitess. But we'll wait till we get there. Then in chapter 2, we read about Boaz. We see Boaz was a man of great wealth. In verses 1 through 4, he knew the God of Israel. He desired God's blessing upon Ruth and Naomi. And he had the heart of a kinsman redeemer, which simply means to redeem or buy back. And it occurs 23 times, that term, in the book of Ruth. And you think about, what has Jesus done for us to redeem us? To buy us back from the enemy that once had us. And here was Boaz willing to take that position in Ruth's life. And what's so beautiful when we see Ruth chapter 2, I'm just going to pick some verses here. In verses 8 and 9, I trust that you read this book. It's a small book. You can go through it maybe 15 minutes. But it says in verse 8 in chapter 2, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Will you listen, my daughter? Will you not?'" He called her my daughter. "Do not go to glean in another field, no, go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" How did that affect her, I wonder, when he called her my daughter? Remember, she's a Moabitess. This is a godly man, and he's calling her my daughter. What about when Jesus adopts us into the family of God? Known where Moabitesses, Gentile worshipers, idol worshipers, right, at heart, before we come to Christ, and when we come to Jesus, he adopts us into his family. And what we read in Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, we're adopted into the family of God, just like Ruth the Moabitess was adopted into the family of God. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6 says, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." He no longer calls us foreigners or strangers, right? But daughters. He calls us daughters. Once we've been born again, adopted into the family of God, he's made us accepted in the beloved through the blood of Christ, through what Jesus did on the cross. And what we see in Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And because you are sons," or I could say daughters, "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Man, we need to let that sink in. Through the life of Ruth, royalty came. And Christ is telling us, Paul is telling us, that because of what Christ did on the cross, you're adopted in the family of God, but it just doesn't stop there. You're an heir of God through Christ. You're no longer a slave. You're a son, you're a daughter. That's good news. Yes. That is good news. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, just as Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18 tells us, "Therefore," now think about this, "therefore come out from among them. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, with lawlessness, with darkness, with Baal, with idolatry," which we read in verses 14 through 16 of 2 Corinthians 6. "Be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." And Ruth, in a sense, did that. She came out from among them. Right. She separated herself. She wasn't unequally yoked with that past life. The Moabites, she totally severed, disconnected the relationship she had there. And she joined herself with the people of God. And because she was willing to do that, you know, when we're willing to do that, God says, I call you a son. I call you a daughter now. You've been adopted into my family. That's good news. Yes. That's good yes. news. Yes. Especially maybe for someone that didn't have a great father figure growing up or didn't come from a home that had it all together. To know that God would want us, because remember, Ruth's response to Boaz after he had called a daughter in verse 10, she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? And isn't that how we respond deep down in our heart? We're amazed at this love. Lord, why would you want anything to do with me knowing what I am, what I was, and what I could still be like? And you still desire me? You still call me a part of your family? And all I see is, but I'm a foreigner. And he says, no, you've been accepted in the beloved. You're not a slave anymore. You're a son, you're a daughter, an heir with God because of Jesus. You are part of the royal family. It's amazing. Isn't God's love amazing? We don't deserve it. And when we look at her response, the posture that Ruth takes before Boaz, which really should be the attitude of our heart each time we come into the presence of Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, to bow down, not so much outwardly, because sometimes you can't trust your motives if you're doing it outwardly, if it's a show or what, but bow down in the heart. Lay prostrate in your heart before him. And it's like, Lord, I know that I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of this. Then in the remainder of chapter 2, Boaz urges Ruth to stay in his field with his servants. We read some of that. And he promises her protection as she's gleaning. And Ruth responds with humility and gratitude. And it just made me think when I was reading that, when we read in I don't want to get too ahead. This is going to lead into it. But after she bowed down and questioned, how could you notice me? Verse 11 says, Boaz answered and said to her, it's been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel under whose wings you have come for refuge. And you know, when we look at this whole thing, when Ruth was in his fields, he told us, stay here. Didn't he say, stay in these fields? Mm-hmm. Stay in these fields where it's safe. Mm-hmm. Don't go wandering off into other fields. Stay here. Doesn't Jesus tell us the same thing? Mm-hmm. Stay in these green pastures here. Don't go wandering around like the sheep off the cliff. Stay where it's safe. And he invites us. You know what's so amazing is Ruth was laboring for Boaz in this field, wasn't she? Yes. She wanted him to redeem her, kinsman redeemer. Well, what does Jesus tell us? He invites us to labor with him in his vineyards, doesn't he? In John 4, verses 35 through 37, he said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this is the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have entered into that labor, and you have entered into their labors." Yeah. And don't we see this happening in a sense as Ruth is laboring in the fields of Boaz, that there's others there working too. And they're there in a safe place. Because if you remember, Ruth had said, or Boaz had said to Ruth, I've heard how you have forsaken everything to come to this place where you are now. So her reputation, what she had done, was being spread among the people. And he heard about it. And he knew she's serious. To walk away from everything like that means you're serious. You're serious with the Lord. Jesus told us in Matthew 19, verse 29, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my namesake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Don't we see that in Ruth's life? She received more than. More than. And you won't know God's more than until you do that. That's just how he does it. Until you're willing to forsake it, you won't experience the more than. That's why he's always calling us, because he wants to reveal himself to us in that way. God sees, I'm encouraged when I read this, because it shows me God sees and knows everything we've forsaken in this life, relationships that are dear to us and our possessions, in order to follow his son. God sees it. God sees it. And I can't help but think, I'm sure he smiles down upon that one. And the angels in heaven must be in awe. Wow. There's still people in this day that are willing to forsake everything for Christ. Mm-hmm. Wow. With all the distractions, with everything pulling at them, there's still people there that are saying yes to Jesus with all of their heart. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So in verse 12 in chapter 2, we read that she came under, Boaz had heard. Well, let me read the verse here. It says, verse 12, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." And then verse 13, "Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants." And what you keep seeing about her, she doesn't see herself the way he sees her. She says one thing, but he says something else. And it isn't it like that with the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, he'll say, "But I love you," and yet we're, but yeah, Lord, but don't you see this and this and this about me? Yeah, I see that, but I still love you, and I don't see you that way anymore. Because you're covered by the blood of Christ. You're covered with his robe of righteousness. When I look at you, I see Jesus and what he did on the cross. But we get caught up in, but I got this and I got that and I got that. Da, 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 da. And she came to him as a place of refuge. And Boaz offered her a promise of protection, because remember, she was a widow. She was a widow. Doesn't God promise to take care of widows and orphans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we see in Deuteronomy 10, verses 18 and 19, it says, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger that she kept saying she was. Mm-hmm. He loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Don't we see him doing that? Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Right.
Doesn't God watch over us and provide for us, not only physically, but spiritually in this way? He provides a place of refuge.
Yes.
He provides food and clothing for us. He provides a new family for us to join ourselves with. And again, it's usually abundant, more than spilling over, just as Boaz did for Ruth in the fields. So you can understand why Jesus would say in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 34, therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What are you worried about? Hasn't God made many promises to his people throughout the scriptures? Hasn't he proven himself faithful over and over and over and over again? How many times in your life?
Yes.
Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6, we're told, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is a promise from God. What can man do to me? What are you taking refuge in for safety and security? Is it in the Lord? Or is it in other things? You know, many times, it's other things. And what's so amazing is when we go into trials, that's what we really see what we're taking refuge in, our security in.
Yeah.
But here, Ruth was looking to Boaz. Mm-hmm. Keep me safe. He said, I'll keep you safe so long as you stay here. Don't go wandering. Because then I can't promise you safety. But if you stay here, the field that I've chosen for you to glean in, I'll make sure you're okay. I'll make sure you're okay. And then we read in verse 13 how she had said to Boaz, you have comforted me and spoke kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. And don't we ask the Lord, let me find favor in your sight. I mean, when we're desperate, we're crying out for his mercy in that way. And doesn't he speak comfort and kindly to us in those times? Especially when we're facing the unknown or going through a trial or just need a word of encouragement. I know how many times the Lord has done that for me. He speaks to those places that only he sees and knows in your heart, that no one else sees and knows in your heart, and it just brings a peace. Just a peace. Verse 14, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. How many times Jesus invites us to come and eat of the bread that he has. And when we eat of it, we're satisfied. completely satisfied. We don't want anything else. Isaiah 55 verses 1 and 2, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. For why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." And that's God's heart for us. He wants us to delight in Him in abundance. Our soul delight in Him in abundance. He feeds us the bread of life, doesn't He? In order to strengthen and nourish us spiritually. And each time, as I said earlier, we eat of Him, we're satisfied. We realize this is what I was created for, made for Him. And there's always a leftover. Isn't there?
Yes.
An abundant supply, more than we can even imagine or think or could have put together for ourselves. And we learn in those times that there's no other satisfaction outside of His vineyard.
That's right.
There really isn't. We may think there is, but usually what happens is when we go outside the vineyard, we come back with our tail between our legs and realize that, Lord, why did I even go there? That was a total waste. So now in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and again, I'm just taking snippets and relating it to how Jesus is with us. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not a relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." Doesn't that sound familiar? "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garments and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, 'All that you have said to me, I will do.'" And we read on and we see that she did exactly what she told her to do. And it just reminds me, because again, Naomi gave her these instructions because Ruth was seeking rest and security for her through her kinsman redeemer, right? And you think about when Jesus says to us, when we're seeking rest and security, Jesus says to us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me," right? "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." How many times do we hear Him crying out to us in this way? "Come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you security. I'll be the one to give it to you. Don't look to man. Man will fail you, but I won't."
Right.
He doesn't. He doesn't fail in any way. So we see that Ruth does what Naomi instructs. She washes herself, anoints herself, puts her best garments on, went down to the threshing floor, uncovered Boaz's feet, and lay there until the morning, which back in that time, this gesture was basically, she was asking Boaz to take her under the wing, his wings, which was a place of protection and a place of care. A Middle Eastern custom of making known to him that she was available to be married. What she was saying is, "I'm available. My husband has died. I'm a widow. And there he is." How many here feel that way? And there is Jesus.
Right.
Saying, come to me. I have what you need. Because aren't we the bride of Christ?
Yeah.
Once we have forsaken Moab, the gods that are there, old friends, the whole life, family, everything, and we cling to him, we become the bride of Christ. And he's saying, I'll take care of you. We see that in Boaz, the picture. He made sure Ruth was taken care of well. How much more Jesus? How much more Jesus? Just as Ruth looked to Boaz to take her under his wings, don't we look to our Heavenly Father and his Son for his protective covering in this way? You know what's so amazing through all this interaction going on between Ruth and Boaz, what's so amazing, I'm going to jump to verse 11 because it says, and now, there he goes, he calls her again, my daughter. And I was saying earlier, what was that like? Knowing she was a Moabitess. And he's saying, my daughter. And when we come to Christ and we're adopted into the family of God, listen to what he says. Don't fear. I don't want you to fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Ruth the Moabitess became a virtuous woman. Wow. All the town knew she was a Moabitess when she first came. Something happened, though, that they saw in her that, wow.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it that way when we come to Christ? Something should be different in our lives.
Yes.
And
yes.
Such were some of you. Right?
Yes.
Remember, Ruth was formerly a Moabitess, a Gentile idol worshiper.
Yes.
And 2 Corinthians verse 6, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul wrote, and such were some of you, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortionists, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And Ruth is such a beautiful picture of just what she was. But yet here now, Boaz is saying that all the people in this town know that you're a virtuous woman. And that virtuous woman lines up with Proverbs 31, if you remember from your study. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that is. That's pretty awesome.
Wow.
And then we come to chapter 4, where Boaz would be the one to redeem Ruth the Moabitess, and they would be married. Because remember, there was another kinsman redeemer, another family member that really should have taken that position. But, you know, I don't know why he changed his mind. Because in the scripture here, it just was interesting. Let me see if I find it here, because I just struck me and I said, why did he say no? Okay. In verse 5, it says, then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. Mm-hmm. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance.
Mm-hmm. I think that was why, because he was afraid that he ruined his own inheritance. Right.
But it was it because she was a Moabitess?
Right.
And they were Jews.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that struck me. And I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Ruth, but that really struck me this time around. It's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have been laced in his decision?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. She was supposed to hook up if I could say that, with Boaz. I mean, when you look at the outcome of her decisions, it's obvious she wasn't supposed to go with the other guy. She was supposed to go with Boaz.
That's right.
So yeah. Regardless of why the first relative said, no, I don't want to marry a Moabitess, or I don't want to be joined to her in any way. But Boaz said, okay, then I will. And isn't Jesus like that with us?
Amen.
It doesn't matter the baggage we had in our past or carry with us. He still says, I want to join my life with you. Mm-hmm. I want to be one with you. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. His love is amazing.
Yes.
When we think about this, because in chapter 4 we read that they did get married, and we read about just in the scriptures about the blood of Christ. I mentioned earlier, we're now the bride of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, for I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ,
yes.
Our kinsman redeemer.
Yes.
Our kinsman redeemer. This picture is all about Ruth, and you see the family lineage that I mentioned earlier, that she became the great-grandmother of David, and then Solomon, and the kings of Israel, and eventually Jesus came from that royal line, and you just see how it's just amazing. God's ways are amazing, because when we come to him, we feel like her. What do you want? Why would you want to do anything with me? I'm a foreigner. I mean, look at what I am. Look at what I've done and the things, my life before. And yet he's there with his hand outstretched and saying, but I have everything you need, and I want to be your protection. I want to be your provider. I want to be your comforter. I want to be your place of safety, your place of refuge. I want to be everything you have need of. I want to feed you and satisfy you that you never hunger and thirst again. It's basically what was going on with the woman at the well. Remember her story?
Yeah.
If we do book 2, her story's in book 2, so the woman at the well. But Jesus is there for us in that way. And it's Boaz is a picture of our kinsman redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not realize when we surrender to Christ and say yes to him and let him take us wherever he wants to take us, the fruit that's going to come forth from that. For her, it was the fruit of her womb.
Mm-hmm.
But don't we give birth spiritually to many? And we have no idea who we're giving birth to. Could be another Moses. Could it be another Noah? Could be another David. I mean, we don't know. Those that we give spiritual birth to. The plan that God has for their lives. And how they will bring souls into the kingdom of God. So her story is really such a beautiful picture of God's redeeming grace, really. His redeeming grace in her life, his redeeming grace in our lives, how God can transform a life that, and such were some of you that we read about in 1 Corinthians. And such were some of you, and how he glorifies himself through our lives. I mean, that people can look. I'm sure when Ruth told her story of what life was like for her in Moab and the things she was giving herself over to, people probably looked at her and said, you got to be kidding me. Because they saw her as a virtuous woman.
Mm-hmm.
How can this be the same woman?
Mm-hmm.
But when we really come to Christ, there should be something radically different in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That people could look at and say, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is wonderful.
Amazing.
He is so amazing. And to end this class, we're a little early, but I think what I want to do to end this class is just some of you. I want some of you to just express gratitude to the Lord for what he's done in your life out loud, and so others can be encouraged.